जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य सुप्रभु श्रीमस् इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभयचंद्रविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल गुरु असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 49, The Son of Drona Punished.
Suta uvacha dharmyam nyayam sakarunam nirvyalikam samam mahat राजा धर्मसूतः राज्ञा प्रत्यानन्दात् वचः द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यां न्यायं सकरुणां निर्व्यालिकं समं महात् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञा प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यं न्यायं सकरुणं निर्व्यालिकं समं महात् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञः प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यं न्यायं सकरुणं निर्व्यालिकं समं महत् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञः प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यं न्यायं सकरुणं निर्व्यालिकं समं महत् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञः प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यं न्यायं सकरुणं निर्व्यालिकं समं महात् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञा प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यं न्यायं सकरुणं निर्व्यालिकं समं महत् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञः प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः सुत उवाच धर्म्यं न्यायं सकरुणं निर्व्यालिकं समं महत् राजा धर्मसुतो राज्ञः प्रत्यानन्दात् वचो द्विजः Suta uvacha, Suta Goswami said, Dharmyam, in accordance with the principles of religion, Nyayam, justice, Sakarunam, full of mercy, Nirvyalikam, without duplicity in Dharma, Samam, equity, Mahat, glorious, Raja, the king, Dharma Sutaha, son, Rajnya, by the queen, Pratyanandat, supported. Vachaha, statements, Dvijaha, O Brahmins. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Suta Goswami said, O Brahmanas, King Yudhishthir fully supported the statements of the queen, which were in accordance with the principles of religion, and were justified, glorious, full of mercy and equity, and without duplicity. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthir, who was the son of Dharmaraj or Yamaraj, fully supported the words of Queen Draupadi in asking Arjun to release Ashwatthama. One should not tolerate the humiliation of a member of a great family. Arjuna and his family were indebted to the family of Dronacharya because Arjuna's learning the military science from him. If ingratitude were shown to such a benevolent family, it would not be at all justified from the moral standpoint. The wife of Dronacharya, who was the half-body of the great soul, must be treated with compassion, and she should not be put into grief because of her son's death. That is compassion. Such statements by Draupadi are without duplicity because actions should be taken with full knowledge. The feeling of equality was there because Draupadi spoke out of her personal experience. A barren woman cannot understand the grief of a mother. Draupadi was herself a mother, and therefore her calculation of the depth of Kripi's grief was quite to the point. And it was glorious because she wanted to show proper respect to a great family. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Advaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrinda, Vaneshwari, Vrishabhano, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vancha, Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhubhya, Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhunityananda, Dvaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Suta Goswami said, O Brahmanas, King Yudhishthir fully supported the statements of the queen, which were in accordance with principles of religion, and were justified, glorious, full of mercy and equity, and without duplicity. The Srimad Bhagavatam interestingly starts from this story of the Mahabharata. The episode of Aswatthama's killing the 5 sons of Draupadi. Why is it interesting? Because right in the very first story of the several dozens and dozens and dozens of pastimes which will be revealed by Sudha Goswami and Sukadeva Goswami, we have to follow for the next several days of this recitation. This is the very first day, first hour of the recitation. And this story is given, this pastime is given, because it sets the mood of the book to follow, the narration to follow. The author sets the mood, the very first pastime is such that it sets the mood of what the entire book is all about. So this pastime is so very special and so deep that it practically baffles the reader. And why is that? In this pastime, there are some very unique features which make it very interesting. Here we see the spectrum of consciousness. Like you have light waves, you have the visuals, the spectrum of light, beginning from ultraviolet to infrared, and then some spectrum of few angstroms, which is called as visible spectrum. Then you have sound waves, which are from, goes very subtly to ultrasonic waves, and the other side is the hearing waves. So there is a spectrum of sound, the spectrum of light. So there is also a spectrum of consciousness. In this pastime, you find Aswatthama, who is typical character of a spectrum which is the lowest possible spectrum of a person who is so cruel, so downtrodden, so nefarious and hard-hearted. Even though born of a great lineage like Dronacharya's son, but he has behaved impulsively. Impulsive behavior is not typical of a human being. A civilized human being is not supposed to act impulsively. That characteristic, that trait is typical feature of animal life, where behavior is not screened, words are not screened, and activities are sort of more or less programmed. So animal, when it behaves instinctively, like you have, you know, you hold a red cloth in front of a bull, and bull not say, I'm not going to run towards this. Or you put a bone in front of a dog, he will not discriminate. He will run for the bone and the bull will run for the... There are some instinctive behaviors which are inbuilt. And animals, it doesn't surprise anybody when the animal behaves like that. But when a person who is trained by a great parent like Dronacharya, who is a teacher of the greatest dynasties of the world, the Pandavas, the Kuru dynasty, and his son behaves instinctively, then that is so very... unbecoming of a person like that. So he represents a cruel, hard-hearted. When he, we know the story, right? We know the story when the last year of the Mahabharata, and Duryodhana was smashed in the spine, in his thigh, by Bhimsen, and he was in a pool of blood, breathing his last. And then now there is a few handful of people left on the Kaurava side, and the war is practically over. But there is no rejoicing because everyone is so tired, exhausted. There is no rejoicing. There is no victory march. And then Aswatthama is, you know, just, he's lost his father, right? So he's in a bad state of consciousness. And he's thinking of revenge, revenge, revenge. The whole thing is going on as Pratishoth. His heart is just, you know, volcanically erupting. How can I take revenge? Right? And he sleeps in the night and he sees a tree. And he sees, and while he is thinking deeply about how to take revenge of the Pandavas, then he sees an owl on the tree, and the owl then jumps onto another nest where there are some birds, and it devours all the birds. And he says, okay, now this is what I should do. and should go in the night and kill the Pandavas. So he goes, somehow he convinces Kritavarma and Kripacharya also into this very, you know, demoniac plot. And he kills what he thinks is the Pandavas, but of course it is the sons of the Pandavas, right? So what is this? This is not human being. Nobody does this. This is cowardice. This is an example of complete cowardice, that you don't just allow the person to fight, give a fair fight, to protect himself or to kill you. Right? This is an act of terrorism, which is considered as an act of supreme cowardice. So Aswatthama behaved like a low-class terrorist. So that is the lowest rung of the spectrum of possible consciousness of a human being. Then you have somebody like Dronacharya. Tamasama represents the lowest rung of tamasic vritti, tamas guna. Rajaguna is represented by Dronacharya. Passionate. Kshatriya, of course, has to be passionate, right? They cannot be, Kshatriya means he is fighting war and he likes to shoot. He likes to see blood oozing out from the enemy's body. So that is passion. And he was ferociously fighting as the commander-in-chief of the Kurus. So he represents dharma, tempered Rajaguna. He's definitely not a devotee of Krishna. Right? Because here is a person who was fighting from the opposite side. While Bhishma Deva, the pure devotee Mahajan, had his reasons to fight, because we know the story how why Bhishma is fighting from the other side. But Dronacharya is not like that. He is compelled by greed to live on the mercy of Duryodhana, who was so powerful. So when there is an acharya, and this is not a devotional acharya, it is a martial teacher acharya. This is not acharya like we say, Ramadvacharya or Madhavacharya. It is not Vaishnava acharya. He is a martial teacher. So he is also called as acharyas, right? So he is acharya in that way. So he represents Rajaguna in a very strong state, with some understanding of dharma, of course, because Kshatriya must know dharma codes. Then as you go higher in the spectrum of this beautiful gathering, now please remember this gathering is very special. You have Draupadi, you have the five Pandavas, you have Aswatthama, the culprit, the victim, the criminal, and you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this very special gathering, in this debate and conflict which is raging. And then you have, of course, the Pandavas, right, who represent a very high degree of Sattva-guna. They're all Krishna's very, very special, chosen, pure devotees. So there is Vishuddha Sattva state. And then you have, of course, Draupadi, who's also a part of the Pandavas, but she represents a very special category we will talk about in a few minutes. And then you have the Lord, who is Dharam Sakshat Bhagavat Paranitam, who is the very source of dharma. He is the very source. The very source of dharma is involved in this very special dharmic debate of how do we deal with this person, right? And typically there are different views coming out, which we know that pure devotees can differ. There is, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that, and the individuality which Prabhupada talks about is against Mayavad philosophy, where everything is stressed as one, we are all one, everything is one. Vaishnava philosophy talks about infinite variegatedness. So you have five Pandavas, the same family from the same mother, right? And they all differ in how to deal with this one person. They're all pure Vaishnavas. Bhimsen is so angry, even after hearing Draupadi, he said, you should kill this rascal. He said, this guy needs don't spare even an iota of mercy. He needs to be killed. And we must remember Bhimsen's words have value here, very big value, because he has killed 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So he is like the most successful killer of the enemy. So when he says to kill, he has weight there, right? And Arjuna, of course, is the hero, and Bhimsen is the second hero. The two biggest heroes of Mahabharata are Arjuna and Bhimsen, right? Because they did the maximum amount of carnage of the opposite side, right? So Bhimsen is saying, kill him. Now, Arjuna has caught him because that was required to catch him, to capture him, but he is not so much willing to kill him.
Now, the speciality of this particular Leela is how Draupadi is behaving. Right? It's not. And she is saying, and we've been hearing the last few verses, and I'm sure devotees have talked about this part, that she is saying that he must be released. He must be set free. Now, on one side you have somebody saying, kill him. The husband. And the wife is saying, don't just kill him, don't just release him. Just honorably set him free. Complete divergent opinions are coming out. And therefore this story sends the benchmark of the Bhagavad Purana. And that is why it is the very first story in this particular great Grantha. Even though it has been crystallized on the Mahabharata, which actually is a scripture for the less intelligent, because it primarily deals with dharma, artha, kama and moksha, this has been filtered from the Mahabharata and placed in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam as the very first pasta because it sends the benchmark for the Bhagavatam. And that is revealed through the heart of a very great Vaishnavi, who also is called Krishna, incidentally, because she was so much absorbed in Krishna. She was Krishna Mai, that's one of the names of Draupadi. Because she set the standard of releasing an aggressor. Historically speaking, this particular quality of forgiveness is the most unique feature of a highly purified Vaishnava. When a person takes to Krishna consciousness, it is like he is taking to the process of milking the cow. From all that is available in the scriptures, he takes to the part of bhakti. It's bhakti. So milk is the essence of the cow, is it not? Right? So then when you take to, and so many processes are there, yoga, jnana, karma, ashtanga, raja yoga, this and that, right? All sorts of things are available depending on your nature. When you take the part of bhakti, it's like taking the milk, the essence of the cow. Very special. But then the milk is not the complete thing, right? It is further taken into a process. You make dahi out of that, and then you hench on it and make it into ghee, right? Step one. Step two, and essence is step three. So most of us have, you know, who are accepted this beautiful path of the bhakti process, we are at stage one, stage two. Right? What is the hallmark of somebody who has reached stage three? The ghee part. When you get this quality of forgiving your aggressors, that is a very unique quality. Kshama Dharma, by Yudhishthira Maharaj's own divine words, is considered as the epitome of dharmic principles. Therefore, the first story of the Bhagavatam starts with Kshama, forgiveness. Historically, the greatest Vaishnavas which we glorify in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you start from the 7th canto, it starts with Prahlad Maharaj, who is wholeheartedly forgiving an aggressor like his father, who has made not one, not two, but numerous attempts to just murder this innocent, thin, very, very innocent, beautiful child, so sweet, five-year-old boy. He wants to murder him mercilessly. And what he did not do for that. And when in the end we find Prahlad Maharaj says, he has got no hard feelings towards his father. No hard feelings. Nothing. Amrish Maharaj, 9th canto, he is there challenged, aggressor comes. Not a snake or not some, you know, he is the most powerful demon who can devour the entire world is created by the hair of Durvasa Muni. And Amrish Maharaj feels absolutely nothing negative in his heart. That he should be. Now he's a Kshatriya. He's a person who can actually draw his sword, he can invoke mystic powers because Rajarshis had mystic powers, right? But he just absolutely is in the mode of forgiveness from like point one. He just starts off with forgiveness. He said, I just cannot do. He's a sage, he's a rishi. You know, Whatever he is doing to me, he is trying to kill me. But absolutely no hard feelings. Kshama. How very common is that? How very common is that in this world? So this pastimes, they actually challenge us. When I read this pastime, for me it becomes a baffling challenge. Will we ever reach this platform? This is the gold standard set by the Bhagavatam. Will I ever in which lifetime will I say, if somebody comes to murder me, right? Stab me, kill me, butcher me, right? Will I say, forgive him? Let him go. Will I pray for him? Right? Will I have any good feelings for him? Draupadi's 6 children have been massacred in front of her. Right? We all know how babies are. Small infant, sweet little children. You know, they just cuddled and just so helpless, so innocent, so sweet, so beautiful. Right? And somebody with the power of 10,000, elephants in each arm just comes and smashes them on the walls of the jail. And Draupadi is like crying, piteously crying, sobbing, wailing, screaming, pleading, begging to let her sons go. Right? But the hard-hearted Kamsa will not let go. Cruelty, tamoguna to the maximum. And then when Durga Devi comes and tells him that you are such a rascal, idiot, fool, your 8th son is there, son is already born elsewhere, don't do this to your sister. And then you find the same Kamsa starts pleading, begging, said, I'm sorry, Sister Devaki, I'm sorry, my dear brother-in-law. And he just, something comes over Kamsa where he just for a few minutes, he's like really repentant. That's not surprising because demons can't do that. But what is more surprising is Devaki Vasudev actually forgive. They actually forgive from their heart. Now, Kamsa was not doing it from his heart. He was just temporarily sort of taken over by some emotion because that Durga Devi said something. So he was like, ooh, why did I do this? Right? So he was like a very short self-life. Short self-life of an emotion. But Devaki Vasudev, true to their very nature as a Vaishnava, Param Vaishnava, they are God's father and mother. Krishna's father and mother, right? So they are not obviously ordinary personalities who are born out of karma. Right? So they exhibit the highest standards. And Devaki, who was so much... so much a heartbroken person, heartbroken mother. She and Vasudev decide, Kamsa, it's all right. It's the will of providence, they say. It's the will of providence. And they're willing to let go forgiveness. In Christian tradition, same thing about Jesus Christ. People are tormenting, their hands are bleeding through and through, nailed on the cross. Said, please forgive them. They do not know what they do. Forgiveness. Of course, Jesus is a Vaishnava. He has come to India and learned Vaishnavism from the great Vaishnavas of India. You know that, right? So he's a Vaishnava. Of course, speaking a different language to his audience. He's a Vaishnava, Param Vaishnava. Find Haridas Thakur. Of course, we find Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything in this world, right? So he exhibits this also. When Putana comes to kill, and then the story which makes, Pundarika Devi go into raptures of ecstasy, when he hears, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam Jigam Sayava Vipadavi, right? When he hears this, that slok of third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he goes into ecstasy because here is Krishna who is, Putana has killed several hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of babies who were born on that particular month. Right, in Mathura, in Mathura Mandal, right? And she comes now to have a final target, a chosen one. She was deputed to do this special task by Kamsa, go and kill this. And she comes and tries to kill him, and Krishna sees that I have taken the milk of this lady, therefore she is my mother, and then she is promoted to become a mother in the spiritual world. Thakur Haridas, same thing, right? So we see that this is what the Bhagavatam stands for. This is the ghee part. So unless our hearts are permeated with this quality, of forgiveness to those who insult us, humiliate us, neglect us, chastise us, or like here even want to kill us, right? Whatever way people behave in a way which is harming us psychologically, physically, emotionally, right? When we are feeling that I can forgive them and not, as we say, forgive and then forget. So we may forgive, but we may not forget. So of course, forget doesn't mean that we condone the act. We don't say that we support. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we condone means yeah. People do that, right? They murder people. So you don't condone the act, right? But you don't harbor hard feelings towards them. You're not saying that no problem. It happens sometimes. It's not that we are supporting the act, but from your side, you let go. Correct. So this is the gold standard, and that's what Bhagavad Dharma is all about. And therefore, when we are introspecting our own consciousness and in dealing with other people, now we have to remember here is a person who Prabhupada says that, you know, if ingratitude was shown to such a benevolent family, so in our case, we will probably have to go through some of these emotions when dealing with Vaishnavas, right? More than outsiders. So they belong to the family of Prabhupada. They belong to the family of ISKCON. So here is the family of Dronacharya. So how much are hearts? And of course, they are not murderers like Aswatthama. So when we may go through some difficulties in a relationship with fellow Vaishnavas, are we willing to take this standard of Draupadi into our hearts and say, I let go. I have no hard feelings too. I let go. And if we are truly blessed to practice this level of Krishna consciousness, then we can really say we are beginning to follow the highest standards of Bhagavad Dharma. That a sadhana bhakti, it's like making ghee, you know, we are boiling, you know, manthan, boiling, and the last thing is ghee. So then we can say that really, Prabhupada said, boil the milk, right? Remember, 1972, there are four letters of Prabhupada, talks of boiling the milk. So then the boiling of milk process means this, that now the milk is enough, and ISKCON has got to be, the other chart, the other day somebody showed us, there are 95,000, I don't know how old the chart is, but 95,000 initiated Vaishnavas in ISKCON, right? So at least this is like the mega family of ISKCON, it's almost a lakh of Vaishnavas. This is a good number, it may not be a great number, but it's a good number. But Prabhupada would love to see that all of us, at least who are there, are boiled, and whereby these qualities can come into our hearts. So, when we understand this, the glory of Bhagavatam is Shama, then we can actually appreciate Prabhupada more, and we'll appreciate Gaurang Mahaprabhu even more. Right? Because in Gaurang Mahaprabhu, now here a very special part of what Prabhupada talks about, the purport is, here the person who is forgiving is in a woman's body. Right? She's a lady. And therefore this is glorified that women have a soft, a gentle, and a tender heart. And that quality of a woman is glorified here. Right? And when that such a heart, which is naturally endowed in a woman, when it is acted upon by Vaishnavism, it becomes a Vaishnavi. That woman, by nature, that is a basic endowment of a woman. And when they become Vaishnavi, then this is what comes out. This is what comes out. That they can forgive so much. And when we understand this beautiful aspect of Draupadi's behavior, then when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is Krishna. Of course, he is the source of all forgiveness. But when Krishna is like the father, father is usually a little more disciplined type of person, right? He wants discipline. Hey, you there? You know, maybe he will slap you sometimes and danda sometimes and put you in the bathroom or, you know, take you out of the house. It's manikalya, sir. You know, he doesn't hate you, but you know, he may do something which is like, which sounds like punishment. I won't do it again. So the fathers do that. But generally, where does the child run to whom? This is the reason, runs to the pallu of the mother, right? So when you have Krishna, who of course is the source of forgiveness, definitely. When you have Srimati Radharani joining Krishna, the Krishna in external, in the heart of Sri Radha. And if Draupadi's heart is so tender and forgiving and soft and gentle, she's one lady, a Param Vaishnavi. Now, we have to multiply that by a factor of infinity to get Srimati Radharani's character. And when that enters into the heart of Sri Krishna, that is what is the avatar of the golden avatar. That is Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. And therefore, when Rupa Goswami is seeing him at Prayagraj, Tirtharaj, seeing that here is a person, and please remember, Prahlad, we have to remember that Rupa Goswami is at this point of time, is already, he has read so many scriptures. He and his brother have scanned all scriptures available at that point of time. And they were scholars of the highest degree, Persian, Sanskrit, Bengali, they knew it all, right? And they used to have debates and conferences in Ramakeli. So they were fully educated. They were not like novice, you know, bhaktas. They were already fully aware about the principles, right? And they are now formally joined Mahaprabhu's movement as a full-time Vaishnava after relinquishing their role as ministers in Nawab Hussain Shah. So they already know what is all in the scriptures. And what is the rarest commodity available in the scripture? Scripture gives so many things. Desire tree, right? Desire tree gives everything. But which is the rarest thing they give is the Pancham Purusharta. It's rarely mentioned. Everything else is given freely. This and that. Dharmartha Kamoksha is given freely everywhere in the scripture. But the Pancham Purusharta, which is Prema Pumartha Mahan, that is given so rarely. So when he saw that this tall, Prakandakaya, it is said, Ramandaraya, when he sees Mahaprabhu at Godavari Kavur, it is Prakandakaya, right? Prakandakaya. Prakanda means huge. Mahaprabhu is 7 feet tall. So he, as if the people who are there, 6 feet, 5 feet, 5 inches, Mahaprabhu is still towering personality. And his hand, Ajan Lambita Bhujo, his hands are, he puts the hands up, dancing like that. Everyone can see him. And then of course his features simmering with gold, Tapta Kanchana. So he's obviously someone who stands out remarkably in an audience, in a crowd, right? And when he sees him and sees what he's doing, what is he doing? He's giving freely, openly, publicly, something which the scriptures don't even give secretly. It is just giving out, as we say, giving out ghee like it is water. He's giving everybody Krishna prem. Oh my God, how can anybody do that? Right? And therefore he understands it in his heart, and therefore it springs from the depth of his consciousness. It is not a planned, what should I write down for this? Let me write a letter, something you think, no? A birthday wishes, how should I glorify this Vaishnav adequately and write a few chosen words which truly express my heart towards how much I love him and care for him. Like that. So you write down something, you think about it, right? You say, no, not this word, it's something else. Delete another word. This is not like that. It has just come out. It has just come out of his heart. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe. It just sprung out from the depth of his heart. Right? That this is a Mahavadanyaya personality. Because he's giving something so rare. Anarthita charim chirat karunayavatinna kalau. Not given for millions of lifetimes, millions of years. Something great. He's giving out publicly to everybody. And he's intoxicating floods. Floods of Krishna Prema coming in in Triveni Sangam. Right? The flood of love of God. Whoever did this, no avatar did it. No avatar will ever do it. Ever he will do it. He has sent the benchmark of what is called as compassion. Compassion. Right? And that is the only type of avatar which can redeem the people of Kali Yuga. Anything less than this will not work for us. Anything less than this would be, you know, this is the only way Kali Yuga mortals like ourselves can be redeemed, because here there is no accountability of past performance. Patra, apatra. Patra is fine, apatra is not fine, but both of them na dekhi. Na dekhi sthana sthan. Right? Shraddha matra loin den paramanand. Right? The only qualification Mahaprabhu is going to look at is that the willingness to accept what he is giving. Bas. That's all. Are you willing to give? Are you happily receiving what I am giving you? Are you willing to take it with gratitude? Are you happy to take this? If this is what you are feeling in your heart, then this is yours. What is that? Krishna Prem is yours. So, leke jao. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanamam prabhadyate. The natural process of getting Krishna Prem as per the protocol, what you call protocol, and the word protocol is used always in all institutions nowadays, protocol. So the protocol, as the Bhagavad Gita's protocol, is bahunam janmanam ante. Right? After millions of lifetimes, you become eligible to get bhakti, first of all, the milk part. Forget the ghee part. The milk will be given to you only after millions of lifetimes of cultivating jnana. That's all laborious jnana process is. Right? That's the protocol. And here, without looking at any of the background, the delete button, Prabhupada gave it freely. What are the qualifications of the hippies? No qualification. But except eagerness to receive what he was giving them. And we can see the hippies went from aswatthama type of consciousness of lowest tamaguna, living like, as we said, like animals, unclean, dirty, unregulated. They were living in a very pitiable state, unfortunately, right? Because they were seekers, they rose from that level within a few months or a few years. They rose to the level of becoming missionaries of Srila Prabhupada, carrying the torch of pure devotion wherever they were going and infecting everybody, like Hanuman was burning Lanka with his tail. They were sort of infecting every place they were going with Krishna Prema. Right? So this is what this great miracle of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is, right? Converting animalistic people into Param Vaishnavas. And the graphic example was shown by Mahaprabhu himself at Jharikhanda. He actually demonstrated this, what Prabhupada demonstrated in New York. New York was a concrete jungle, a dangerous place to be. In the Bowery, it is described, the Bowery, you cannot move out in the Bowery after 5 p.m. in the evening. If you go there, you'll be mugged, killed, robbed, raped, anything like that. You just cannot, you have only few choices, you know. You want to get robbed or killed or mugged. Something will be done. You cannot walk on that street after 5 p.m. No question. That is typical of the Bowery 1965. Right? So, in a concrete jungle like that, and then you have an actual proper dark, ferocious jungle of Jharikhanda, at the time when man was not into deforestation. There's still a lot of trees were there, a dense jungle, right? And all the animals were there, the bears, the wild elephants, the scorpions, and the mongoose, everybody was there, right? And Mahaprabhu is walking with Vallabhadra Bhattacharya. And Mahaprabhu is completely in that mood of Vrindavan. His heart is in Vrindavan. He's overflowing with the mood of Srimati Radharani's love. And that love for Radharani is coming out through the holy names. When he chants Hare Krishna mantra, it's flowing out of his heart. The Maha mantra is flowing out. right? He's walking through, and then you find the mesmerizing hypnotic effect of transformation of a miraculous which is never seen before. The entire jungle, wild animals, they get transformed into Vaishnavas. So that painting which we are seeing, which we sometimes may not allow it to go to conscious level of awareness, is something which we should note with the great prophet, that here is a deer and here is a tiger. And again talking about nature, Draupadi's nature. What are the nature of a tiger? What are the nature of a deer? Deer is tiger's food. So when deer sees tiger, Radhana Maharaj says, when deer sees tiger, he or she, the deer sees that. When tiger sees deer, he says, Mahaprasade Govinde. this is my food. This is my death. This is the type of nature they both have. And now, they are coming together, Alingan Koribe, and they are, you know, kissing each other, right? As loved friends, embracing each other, right? The deer and the tiger are behaving like pals. Friendship, camaraderie, togetherness, love. All these things are happening between the worst of, repellent forces. This is the miracle of, this is what Mahaprabhu can do. This is what a movement can do. This is what Mahaprabhu's mercy can do. This is the potential which our Krishna movement has got. To convert Jagai Madhais into Vaishnavas, to convert animals into Vaishnavas, to convert hippies into Vaishnavas. This movement has got no restriction, no limits. Anybody, or whatever level of consciousness he may be, right, from Aswatthama ho, dog ho, cat ho, anybody, right, anybody. The process can elevate everyone, right? And there is absolutely no parallel to this. There is no parallel of such a movement in the world. There is no parallel to any such a process in the world, right? There is no parallel to any avatar in the world like Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, right? This is absolutely the benchmark of the highest degree of compassion which God can show ever. And this obviously is our only hope. Our hope is not our sadhana, which we are doing, we will do. Because we have to say something. You have to sit in the paper, as I said, you at least take the case paper. You have to take the exam paper and sit for the exam. If you just sit for the paper and write your roll number, and write your name, Dwarkadish Das. Achha, he was sitting for the exam. Pass kar do. What is written inside? Don't look at what is written inside. He came for the examination hall. He wrote the roll number, wrote his name. And of course, right, university, Bombay University, right, ISKCON Society. At University of the Prabhupada Society. Right. He just write this thing, submit the paper. I said, aata hai nahi paper, bhaiya, tough paper hai. He gives the paper. Mahaprabhu said, okay, yali, came for the exam, chalo. Grace. So this is what we have got, and this is what we have, and this is what we should value. We have got nothing ordinary. We have something even beyond the extraordinary, right? And there is no limits. Therefore, when we say kono bhagyavan, brahmanda brahmite kono, we just stand this sloka as if we just say it like brahmanda brahmite kono bhagyavan. Brahmanda, what is brahmanda? If you get a job, you're just going around to 50 places in Bombay asking for a job. That is the closest you can think of, right? Nowadays, people don't have jobs. You go to 50 interviews and 51 you said, hari yaar, chalo, come in. So, Brahmanda means literally you've gone to 84 lakh species of life, anadi karma phale, pari bhavarna vajale, right? We have been in this world, even before this creation, we were there in this world. We were in this world even before this creation took place. This particular creation took place. That's how long we've been around. Then that word Brahmanda Brahmita makes some sense to us. Then, Kono Bhagyavanchi. Krishna Guru Prasad Pai Bhaktivata Beach. Right? So this has been given to us. No matter what
we may have in our life, but not have in our life, immaterial. We may have wanted to have, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. You may have done it, you may not have got it. You may not. It's all take it. That's all based on karma dharit. It's all based on karma. Right? But what we have is not karma. What we have is in the category of causeless mercy. Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy. Krishna, the supreme Godhead, the source of all virtues, sabguna sagara, sabguna agara. Agara means depot. Sabguna agara, depot, depot of all. And then you have the heart of Radha combined with Krishna. And that person is just born 500 years ago in this world. And is just giving freely, freely. Krishna prema pradayate. Let's take this great gift and deep into our hearts. With this our capacities, rest of our best of intentions, let's be instruments of compassion. We don't have compassion. We cannot have the heart of Radha. We cannot have the heart of Draupadi. We cannot have the heart of Prabhupada. As I said, it's not possible. But we can be, as Maharaj says, instruments of compassion. We can take it, just give it. Take it. We can just give it. We can make instruments. And if we keep doing that, hopefully one day we will actually feel that compassion in our hearts. It is emblazoned as, you know, beautifully depicted by the golden heart of Mother Draupadi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.